Know the Source on One Radio Network.
All these people get in my room. I don't know how it happens. Wow. Good morning. It's Open Phone Friday. We are going to have some kind of fun today. I don't know what we're going to do exactly, but I'm feeling great as per usual. Oh, it's so fun when you finally work through something that you've been working through for a few years. In my case, stomach. It's been a long time, and we can talk a little bit about it this morning. Oh, perhaps Patrick's sharing some more of the experiences with, in my case, it was the burning, hunk of burning love in the tummy, could help you to understand better how this thing we call disease and health works, and you could use some of the techniques tricks and secrets and techniques and ways you can play around with this and use your power as soul to facilitate a lot of the stuff that we put in our mouths, which is generally, you know, the way we do it now. Get acid reflux, do a proton pump inhibitor, or baking soda, or apple cider vinegar, depending on whether you're going to take away some acid or put it in there, probiotic foods and all this stuff. And what I believe, after many years of looking at it, and all of it, whatever it is just reflecting our state of consciousness, which means what we believe and what we think and who we are, and our state of consciousness, like this second. So if we believe that we're in a body and we have a possibility this could, some dumb thing could happen, and I'm thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow and next week, and I'm concerned about my kids and whatever. You know, it's all our state of consciousness, and even though a mom necessarily is not worried about their children, as moms do, part of their DNA, concerned about their children at that very moment in time when she's making coffee or making breakfast or making the beds or going to work, whatever mom does, it's part of her state of consciousness at the moment, and it's affecting her body. We don't know this because we've never been taught it, but we're coming into a new age, which has been in the works for, thousands of years. And, Jesus was part of that, and Buddha was part of it, and that was, moving through it, and different spiritual teachers were part of it, and they laid the groundwork, and now we're just a couple thousand years after Jesus, and I don't know, Buddha and all that. Then we even have more information, more and more, and things just keep getting open and more wider, and you and I are here, and we get a chance to say, wow, what about this? What about if we do this? Where we could pretty much do it ourselves. It's helpful if you have a teacher, because it's helpful. But divine spirit is available to everybody, so we can utilize this power, which is the only power there is, Well, that's a good name for a book. The Only Power There Is. To write that down. You can use that if you want. You can do theonlypowertheris.com. Let's type that in there. The only power there is .com. Think somebody has that? All it pulls up is J.K. Rowling. There's no good and evil. There's only power. Okay. Well, I guess that's available. I think I'll get it. 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. It's an honor to be here with you. My goodness, it's the third of Aug. My goodness. What can we do? Well, so please join the show. Let us know what's going on in your world. 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. patrick@oneradionetwork.com. It is going to be just, man, I tell you what, it's just going to be warm and warm and warm and warm again. Yeah, about 100 or so. It's really interesting. It's been getting a little bit cooler at night, so something's kind of in the winds. So something's in the works here. I'm not sure what, but something is moving a little bit because it's actually cooler first thing in the morning. And I see it's starting to cool off a little bit in the weeks ahead, down to the early 90s. By the 15th of August around here, so say the weather mavens. So, you know, maybe we'll have a little bit nicer August than we did July. Boy, it was just, oh, man, I want to tell you what. Really, really warm. So, let's do this. You know, it was really interesting what Anne Louise Gilliman said yesterday about the gallbladder and the thyroid function, which is really pretty cool. I think it was a piece of the puzzle that I had not heard before. And I think she's really onto something with the bitters. We've known about digestive bitters. I never used them a bunch, but I went ahead and ordered 3 bottles from Sir Thrival Daniel Vitalis yesterday. He's got a nice new product called Digestive Bitters, strangely enough. And this came out about 2 weeks ago. You know, just as things do, just right on time. So, and they've been used in Europe for a long time, but and it's pretty inexpensive. I think it's like $19 from Daniel. Yeah, $19. And you might want to try some of these even if you don't have any digestive challenges. I think it's a really, really nice thing to do. It just increases bile flow and thins out the bile a bit and keeps things moving. And the bile is so important. In Daniel's formula, he has dandelion root, orange peel, gentian root, arc and grape root, fennel, yellow dock, a ginger root, blue flag, and prickly ash. And he comes in a spray bottle. And you can do before or after meals. It's an organic alcohol. And a little spray bottle. You can actually keep one in your car maybe when you go out to eat. Psh, psh. Especially if you're going to go to Mickey D's and have a quarter pounder with cheese. Encourages strong and healthy digestion. Get the digestive juices flowing. I think it also balances out if you have excess acid, which I had, and which is part of my thing. Some people don't have enough. Most people have too much. I think the idea that most people don't have enough, I think that's wrong, but I just make it up as I go, but what do I know? I never did really get the idea that all of a sudden you get to be 60 or 70 revolutions around the sun, or 50, like they tell people. Oh, you just don't make any more stomach acid because, you know, God wants you to die. You know, it's just kind of dumb. To me, it's not logical more than anything. Just not logical. But anyway, so this is a good thing. So she suggests that with her research, and we talked about her book, which was called Radical Metabolism, Ann Louise Gittleman yesterday. Cool gal. She's written a bunch of books up there in Moose Country, Idaho. That healthy fat digestion produces particular hormones that the thyroid needs to be happy. And that's pretty interesting. And it could be a component to why there's such a plethora, I love that word, a plethora of thyroid dysfunctionality, quote unquote, in our culture today. And it's just a huge, huge issue. Thyroid medication is like one of the all-time big ones. Well, we can Google it. How many people are on thyroid meds? What percent of the people has thyroid problems? 20 million Americans, according to thyroidorg.com. I guess they would know. I guess that they should know. And so she suggests that I guess it would be easy to conjecture that modern America, and even those of us who are natural foodies and stuff that we've been doing, could be pretty easy to get a little sluggish gallbladder over the years, and we've done our share of shows with David Jubb and the former Mrs. Jubb, now Annie Jubb, and Andreas Moritz and Dr. Sutter up in Michigan. Hi, Doc, if you're listening up in Michigan, he listens to a lot of the shows, and the flush thing. And Dr. Sutter does it with Coke, and you can do it with orange juice, you can do it with grapefruit juice, you can do it with lemon juice and olive oil, and you slug her down there, and, you know, there's all different ways to do it. And some people like to use this fast food thing that you can soften up your little stones, and also Epsom salts, which kind of relaxes the biliary ductors. So when you do the oil and you wake up and comes squirting out. And so that's kind of a creative way and a very active way to clean things up. So you can do little coffee enemas. And Ann Louise said, and we've learned over the years, that you don't have to do a whole bunch of coffee. You can just get some good organic coffee and do about 8 to 10 ounces right there in the lower sigmoid area. Is it a sigmoid? Yeah, right down there. You can look on the pictures. And then that I used to know the little, let's do the, it's not sigmoid, is it? The sigmoid? Let's do sigmoid. I think it is. Sigmoid. Yeah, it's just right down there at the bottom. And then there is a, then that guy, that has a direct route right to the liver gallbladder. So the caffeine, you don't have to get it way up there. The caffeine goes there and stimulates the liver gallbladder to do stuff, you know. And so that's how that works, and you can do that. She recommends that you do a mold-free kind of coffee, and I do too. The only one I really know kind of like for sure is, going through our trademark Know the Source, is David Wolf, who came up with a mold-free coffee, and he went through the whole thing of figuring out why coffee molds And he found a way to do it where it doesn't, and absolutely no mold. And if you're interested in that, it's called longevitywarehouse.com. And he's got some mold-free coffee. And it's pretty yum, and it's organic, of course, and no mold in there. So Henry suggested yesterday, and Louise, that coffee is one of the all-time great bitters to use. And it's a great, wonderful food. And I suspect it is. Adam Bergstrom talks about the cobalamin tonic, and it's a bitter. And as you probably know, we probably remember grandparents or dads or moms that would use coffee to make sure they went to the bathroom in the morning, and it'll do that, you know, because that's what it does. You know, it stimulates the bile and gets things kind of moving and stimulates the colon and whoops. So that's how a lot of people in this country use coffee as a, you know, so why not? It tastes good, tastes fun, it's not going to hurt you. And there's actually evidence that shows that people who drink coffee have a better colon cancer functionality, less colon cancer, because they must poop more. It's pretty much why it works. So that is a bitter. That's bitter as well. But you can do bitter greens as well. My grandpa, he always had constipation kind of problems his whole life, I can remember. Matter of fact, he that's how he left this incarnation, was colon cancer. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, he was always kind of had this issue. My grandpa, a sweet guy. And my grandma, when she would cook greens, she would then take the water and put it in the fridge, and he would drink that green water, and that helped him go to the bathroom. But it was really interesting. One night they rushed him to the hospital. I was just a little tyke, and they rushed him to the hospital, and I remember I asked my mom what was the matter. She said, oh, he had a hole in his colon. That's the word she used. And peritonitis set in the next morning or that night, and he just, poof. Of course, these days, if you'd have that happen, they could get in there and quickly and save you and just patch it up and get rid of the yuck stuff that goes throughout the body. So he must have wore a hole right through his colon. And I think then later on we found out that for months and months he was experiencing blood in his stool that he never told my grandma till the very end there. So, you know, because, you know, you can imagine back there 60 years ago that people didn't talk about poop and colons and stuff, you know, like we do. And so that's how Gramp left his carnation. He was a great guy. He was a really sweet Italian fellow, bald, and just a very soft-spoken guy. And he used to take me down. He used to take me down the basement every now and then, and they made wine down there. And he'd show me around, take me by the hand, and show me how they made the wine. And then every now and then he'd give me a little sip. He thought it was great to give the kids, you know, a 10-year-old, just a little sip. You know, just a little sip. Here, that's how that tastes, just so you know. Don't be afraid of it. And Italians always did that. They didn't have a thing about, oh, don't drink, you know, it's bad for you. That they really taught the kids that a little bit of wine is good for you. My grandma drank a little bit of wine every day. I think about 2 ounces, 2 or 3 ounces of her own wine. And she was about 95 revolutions around the sun when she left, and she didn't have anything wrong with her. Healthy as she can be, just kind of left, just kind of wore out. Was living at home, cooked for herself, was taking care of herself, and she just went to sleep and went to heaven. This is Open Phone Friday, 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. I want to dig a little bit more into the unconscious and how that works that I'm learning in my contemplations and meditation and in my visits outside the body, and also a little bit more clarity on how disease forms. And I got thinking about it and kind of analyzed and looked into it in the last few days after I heard Alan Alda talk about a dream he had, and that he's got Parkinson's symptoms. I read that somewhere, and you know, the MASH guy. And so we'll talk about that coming up. So stick with us and join us, please. 888-663-6386, 888-663-6386. Email patrick at onradionetwork.com. I can say it, August 3rd, 2018. Previously with chemist, biologist, and nutritionist George Altgeld, we asked him this. And so what do you think about Dr. Seneff's contention that as these glyphosates are in the soil, they bust the self-recycle, and that's really detrimental to the body?
It's extremely detrimental. Sulfur is such an important detoxifying agent for the entire body and especially for the liver. You've got to have trace minerals so that the liver can build these compounds that are essential for getting itself cleaned. And that lady who was talking about sulfur, man, play that ad every chance you get, because our foods are so deficient in sulfur, and it is a big deal for the liver to have enough sulfur to make all those compounds that it uses to detoxify itself. Not just sulfur, they're all important, but sulfur is the one that we're so deficient in, and we need sulfur.
Thanks, George. I had some this morning. You might want to give it a try. You can click an order right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. 3 locations, 3 prices, delivered. And if you'd like more than £4 for a discount, email me, Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. We just love this product, and folks have been writing us for years, and they got a tremendous amount of testimonials on our sulfur page. Folks remember their dreams more clearly. They feel better. You just get a little spring in your step, just to kind of bring oxygen to the brain and other parts of the body. Folks have reported that they have pretty quick relief with little joints and joints and stuff like that. Not sure how it works, but it works. And we don't make any claims on it, but it's a cool product, and it's pure. Not a lot of them are pure. Most of them have stuff in it, and it yields them less effective. Safe and effective. So we offer in two-pound lots. And you can do 3 prices, United States, Canada, worldwide. If you want more than 4 pounds, just shoot me an email.
Starving for vitality.
Starving.
We're turning to energy drinks, stimulants, and pharmaceuticals to try to improve our focus, increase our metabolism, rescue our sex drive, and adapt to the stresses of modern-day living. Each year, an elk sheds its impressive antlers, regenerating an even larger set the following year. These velvet antlers have been a revered traditional medicine for thousands of years. Elk antler harnesses the adaptogenic and highly regenerative growth factors from this natural and ethical resource into a concentrated, bioavailable extraction. Its revitalizing effects span bone, muscle, and nerve support. Improve metabolism, cellular repair, sexual potency, anti-inflammation, vascular strengthening, and hormone production. Humanely harvested from free-range U.S. elk, extracted in organic alcohol, and protected in Miron glass, our elk antler is available in 3 strengths to restore your vitality at any level.
I know it doesn't matter what I take, because you and you take what you want, but I've been taking this product for, I don't know, years, along with pine pollen. I just think it's just great stuff. I really don't like being without it. I just take a shot pretty much every day. And when you think about how the elk and the deer, or the elk in this case, can grow a whole new rack every year, like a new arm, and some of the factors that have to be in there, and they take the velvet off of the elk. They don't hurt the elk at all and squeeze it with a tourniquet, none of that. These are farm-raised guys, and that's what they have them for. So they have a nice life and nobody gets hurt, which, no. Animals were not hurt during this production. You ever see that in the movie? It's great. So great products, Sir Thrival Elk Velvet Antler. And then while you're there, why don't you pick up a few bottles of this digestive bitters that we are talking about? Because that would be good. Well, is this who I think it is? My goodness, where has James been?
When you're down and troubled,
bye.
And you need a helping hand, and
nothing,
well, nothing's going right. Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be. Brighten up darkest night. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running.
Jamie Taylor, great song, huh? Okay, it's August 3rd, 2018. James was married to Carly Simon, wasn't he, at one time? She was one of my faves. Is she even around, Carly Simon, anymore? I used to love her stuff. I wonder what these people do after they... 888-663-6386, email patrick@1radionetwork.com. I just went to carlysimon.com. We should get her on the show, man. Looks like she's still singing around. She's cool. Can you get Carly Simon on the show for us? Available now, carlysimon.com shop. Oh, she must have a new CD thing. Well, let's play some of that. I'll be done. Okay, 888-663-6386. Email patrick@1radionetwork.com. I saw a little clip someone sent me. Alan Alda, terrific actor. He was on one of these TV shows. And he had some kind of dream where he was, in the dream, he was hitting his wife with a pillow, and he woke up, and in his physical body, he was hitting his wife with a pillow. And he was making then he talked to people, and then somebody started to tell him why, yeah, if you do something like this and you have Parkinson's, and it was kind of weird. I don't know. Don't get me started. Anyway. So he's got some kind of little shakiness going on, and so he's real interested in this. I wish I could talk to him, could help him out. So I got a little Parkinson kind of type story that I can share, and I would share with Alan Alda if he was here. So if you know Alan, send him this tape. About 10 years ago, when I came in contact with this fellow, who was really on the cavitation idea. His name is not in my consciousness at the moment, but it'll pop in there during my little story. He's in North Carolina now, and he actually had a big trailer, big van, or a big full-blown trailer that he was driving around the country, and he was taking thermal imaging pictures of people, like $50 or something, or $25. And the idea, he was putting them right at their head. And he had somehow came across the idea that this thermal imaging could look and see some heat, like in the jaw, right? And that was could be the very beginning of cavitations, or it could be a full-blown cavitation. And so for reference, a cavitation is simply... most people have them and don't know they have them, because most of us we've had the wisdom teeth pulled out because, well, I don't get too much in a black hole, but in my opinion, the reason is because of dietary mismanagement over a long period of time. And Dr. Weston Price proved it, that the jaws were getting smaller and smaller just because of a lack of minerals in the soil that we talk about, the sulfur and all that, right? So when your jaw is not big enough to handle all the toofies, which are genetically and DNA, they're going to come in because that's the way they are. You're going to have, 16 or whatever they are. Then you just don't have enough room, right? You just don't have enough room. So they, the dentists, so what they do is they pull them out because, the things get all, that's the only choice they really had. These guys are coming in, there's not enough room. So they pull them out. So long ago, and even going on today in 2018, dentists do not really know the right way to pull teeth out. Sorry for the American Dental Association. Just send me a letter. Well, there's a ligament there. So when you pull out the tooth, there's a ligament, and that ligament has to be cut. And then you really have to clean out that cavity really well. And best case, you want to use ozone in there, which I didn't have, 30 years ago. And now Dr. Nunley's using poly-rich platelets from the blood, and he puts that in there, and that helps the thing, that baby, to really heal up. PRPs, they call them, poly-rich platelets. There's other dentists around the country, but Dr. Nunley is, I think, the best in the world, but I'm prejudiced because he's my dentist. So you can do a lot of things. So then you get this blood clot where they pull out the tooth or you repair the root canal, and this blood clot is what forms the bone. And you form this bone, and there's nothing there but bone, and everybody's happy. Well, if that's not done properly, which it hasn't been done, and even today it's not being done by most dentists because they don't know this stuff. Strange how they could go to 8 years of school and not know it, and I know it. That's a little scary right there when you think about it. Anyway, and then also Dr. Nunley and others, not a lot, but Dr. Nunley definitely does, uses the Huggins 3-mile rule, and they don't want their patients to jump in a car after they pull a root canal or a tooth, because if you jiggle it around a lot and drive 25 miles home and all you have is a piece of cotton up there and you jiggle it around, pretty good chances it's not going to clot properly. So people that come in from out of town, and even I did it when I got my root canal out years ago, I just stayed in a little hotel down the road from Dr. Nunley, a mile. They drove me down there. I stayed there. I had kept my head above my chest, which is another thing that you want to do. You don't want to lie flat. And when you do that, it's going to clot. And pretty good. I mean, nothing's 100%, but you got a really good chance it's going to clot up nicely, and then you don't have a problem. Well, of course, the dentists out there today don't do that. They don't do any of that stuff. They just pull it out, shove some cotton in there, and send you home. And so cavitations are not good. So cavitations are just as dangerous as root canals with the amount of anaerobic bacteria that can form in there, because there's no oxygen and you really can't get anything in there to kill that stuff. Now, I know I get emails all the time. Oh, I think you can put ozone in there and you can do this and you can do that. Fine, you can do all that. I've never really known anyone that had them tested before and after they did ozones or Rife machines or some of the other stuff and had it healed. Maybe it's possible. I've never seen anybody do it, and neither has Dr. Nunley, but if you can do it, fine. Okay, anyway, so back to the story. So that's how I originally knew that I had cavitations, because he took this picture. He had me go in back to the trailer. He took this picture of my head after I sat in a really cold air-conditioned room for about 30 minutes, because he wants the body to cool down. And now if you go out, you can get places that do thermal imaging. You can probably just Google it in your town. You can get one done if you want. And it's just not invasive. There's no x-rays. And they have these places you can go in, and they cool you off. The proper ones do. You want to get cool off so you don't have a lot of heat running around in your body. And you can get a thermal imaging all over your body. And people claim, and this fellow who worked with breast cancer in North Carolina, the name is still coming to me, that we've had on the show several times, that they can see little red dots in the breast that wouldn't come up as a lump or potentially a cancerous thing, maybe 10 years ahead of time. I know. And so they figured that out. And they also figured out that breast cancer almost all the time is tied in with the root canal as well. There's all kinds of evidence for that. So ladies, if you have some root canals, you want to get those guys out. And guys, you want to get those guys out. Just get those guys out and get it out. Get it out properly. fellow's name is Dr. Bob Dowling. I think this is when we originally talked to him was 2010. Sounds about right. We have an interview up there, July of 2010. You can put Dowling in there, and you can find this interview. Anyway, so I'm going to get to the... No, actually, the first time we had him on was November 20, 2008. That's when I had my thing done. Wow. Yeah, we have that website. We have that show there you can listen to. Yeah, about 8 months or 9 months after we started the show. He estimates that 95% of the people have oral pathology, which means the presence of a root canal, wisdom teeth were properly removed, or cavitations. Okay, so water, parts dry out. Haven't seen rain here in nigh on Dumont. So after he saw these little things that I went to Dr. Nunley and then got the whole thing taken care of, and that's how it started this whole adventure on the dental stuff. So we've been doing it, I guess, about 10 years. Wow, we've covered a lot of territory, haven't we, in 10 years on this? It's been quite a journey. Because we're so blessed with some of these people, Dr. Huggins, Dr. Garcia, Dr. Nunley, and Dr. Dowling, on and on and on in our archives, which are gold. There's gold in them, they're hills. You really can understand what's going on. So that's what got me turned on and got me all fixed up. Well, this brings me to the Parkinson's thing. So back then, 10 years ago, Dr. Dowling saw a little bit of speck, very, very small little speck in my brain, a little red speck. And he said, oh, that could be, and he said, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure, well, you know, he didn't want to freak me out, but he said that could potentially be, you know, Parkinson's 20 years from now because of the place it's in the brain. And I go, well, that's pretty wild, huh? Wow, that's pretty wild. Woo. So I never thought much of it. I wouldn't give a lot of energy, something like that. But, maybe about a year ago, 2 years ago, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago, I noticed that during my contemplations, if I got real quiet, and you can even try this on yourself, I don't know if it's a natural phenomenon, get real quiet, and you just got your head level, and say if you put your teeth together, like, you know, your teeth together, I could feel a very, very slight little tremor, just a little. Try it on you, see if you feel anything. Put your teeth together, gently, not real tight, because they wouldn't tremorize if they were tight, but just kind of see if you can make them give a little tremor there. So I had a pretty good one. I mean, not a good one, but I mean, I could feel it. And I said, well, that's curious. So never gave it much thought, except I would test it every now and then. And I could feel it sometimes when I was going to sleep. If I put my jaw close together, I could feel a little bit of a tremor there. So I knew there was some kind of, I believe there was some kind of imbalance in the body. But again, I don't put a lot of juice into these kind of things because I know that would just make it worse. I would just tell myself, well, it is. I'm getting healthier and it's going to work itself out. I mean, that's really the way I approach things. I don't put any more energy into that because I know, knowing what I know, that it would just make matters worse. So I just kind of gave it to God and just move on and whatever. It's like a pain. So over the last 6 months or so, as I came around the bend of looking at the spiritual cause of this classic heartburn symptoms that I have over 2 years that I had and no more, I really saw how the heartburn for me was souls and God's way of telling me to pay attention to this. Let's create this little burning so you can learn more about how you create the burning, which is how it works, which is very cool when you think about it. Good for spirit. Wow. So you're going to get a disease or a malady, a beautiful malady. You'll get a disease or an imbalance in the body so we can learn how we created it. In my opinion, that's the only reason we get sick. That's why we get sick. We get sick because we create it spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and lifestyle. That's the whole package. That's why we do get sick. And an extra bonus to that is, well, you just don't get sick and good luck and you can't do anything and you got to go take medicine or something. But it is really a natural spiritual way how to knock on your little noggin like mine and say, here, pay attention to this because this could be something you could look at. Now, most people in our culture, because they don't understand what I'm saying, but you do because you hang out with me, is most people in our culture, they'll simply go for the physical and they'll get rid of more acid and so, and that's great and that works and that'll keep you going for a long, long time. But if you don't get to the spiritual cause, in my opinion, you know, it'll eventually just catch up with you. Or, you know, you won't live as long as you could, or, you know, who knows. Karmically, everybody's different. So I can't get into that because, you know, I would really get on thin ice. So then over the last couple of years, I really began to get a more clear picture of how these diseases are caused. And they're really just caused by thoughts. And they're caused by thoughts, generally thoughts that we don't like or afraid of, or that we don't understand, and we just kind of stuff them, and they turn into energy blockages in the liver, or something like that, and by yawning and stretching and relaxing and trusting God, and these can be released, body work, stuff like that. But this is how disease happens. This is the only way disease happens. The body's not going to just get sick because. And my theory is that if you're just in Knoxville totally and don't worry about anything, nothing, zero, absolutely, you don't even think about 2 seconds from now, that you could probably eat pretty much Mickey D's for the rest of your life and you wouldn't get sick. It just wouldn't stick. So that's my theory. You don't want to push fate. You might as well not do that. But anyway, my opinion. So I saw where the Parkinson's idea is simply a thought, an idea, or an image that people don't want because they're afraid of it. And then when you try to get rid of it or push it aside, it will come back. And when it comes back, you do the same thing. And that back and forth is the tremor. That's my take. In my opinion, that's what Parkinson's is, because that's what my little tremor in my mouth was. And there's still just a tiny bit left. So, you know, we always have more work to do, but it's gone from a 10, whatever I had, I'll just call it a 10. It wasn't a 10. It was just give it a number, say it was a 10. Now it's down to about an 8 or maybe a 9. I mean, I'm sorry, a 2 or a 1. So it's gradually, as I just relax more and trust more and love God more and love you guys more, love myself more, love Duda more, and trust more, it just gradually goes away, because it does. I mean, that's the way it works. So that's my opinion, and it's just my opinion. I could be totally wrong. The Parkinson Foundation, if they heard me say this, would probably be, they're running around with their hair on fire. How could this be possible? Come on. Then you could actually get rid of Parkinson's by doing spiritual work? Absolutely. I believe so. Because I don't think anything is permanent. So even if you have, this fellow saw a little something in my brain. So there already was some kind of a energy blockage, you know, 10 years ago. It was just a tiny, tiny little speck. But that's how it works. And the same thing works for the breast. So these are all kind of emotional things. And so, you know, it's pretty cool. So, you know, the bottom line is all The trick is just to meditate more, contemplate more, talk to God more, love more, worry less, be happy more. That's the number one thing. And these things will work themselves out because they'll just come out. Do body work and yoga and eat good food and they'll work themselves out. Does that make sense? So I think that's really where Parkinson's, how it happens. And what I found with the heartburn thing was that's exactly what I was shown, and I wouldn't have even got to the Parkinson's idea if I wouldn't have gone through 2 years of figuring out heartburn, where the heartburn that I created was simply just overthinking or thinking in general. I know that sounds weird, but everybody's different. And for me, I created the situation so I could write about it and teach you about it, and that's why I did it. So that's my Dharma karma, and I'm happy to do it because I'm happy to be here. It is August 3rd, 2018, and this is Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. Let's see if anybody else has a little tremor when they put their front teeth together. Yes, my teeth are doing as well, from Paul in the UK. Okay. Well, what you could do, Paul, is not worry about it, but I would start doing some spiritual exercises. You know, find a meditation that you want. Get quiet every day for 20 minutes. Do it twice a day. Just kind of sit and be quiet and watch the show and settle down. Hold on right there, please. I'll get right to you. And kind of look at what's going on that you're not dealing with or you're afraid of or you're fearful or you're anxious about. And work on letting those go, and you'll see over time that the little teeth chattering thing will go away, because it's just the mind chasing the mind is what it is. So it's just the mind saying, oh, how about this? You know, an elephant may sit on your house, and then the mind says, oh, I don't want an elephant to sit on my house. I need my house. And then the mind says, well, yeah, but what about that elephant? And that's all it is. And it gets to be subconscious, and you don't know what's going on. So as the quieter and quieter you get, Paul, the more it'll come to the surface. And then maybe you find out that you're afraid of afraid of dying or afraid of this or that. And you can say, well, it doesn't make sense. I mean, everybody's going to die pretty much, so I can let that go. And that's how it works. You can do a lot of yawning and stretching, as Adam teaches, It'll help these things to leave, and even when you don't know what they are. I've been doing a lot of yoga lately. I mean, lots, probably an hour a day. I like to do it at 3 o'clock in the morning, in the middle of the night, and you start yawning and doing that's very powerful. Yeah, you'll just be amazed at what that can do. Stretch and yawn, and you can do stretching and yawning. Go to Adam's blog; he'll teach you about that. You don't really need to learn anything. Just do it. Stretch and yawn. Pandiculation, like kitties do, and it'll clear out a lot of stuff. I know it's easy. You don't have to take drugs and go to the hospital, but why? Okay, who's this? Good morning on the phone. Who may this be?
Chris?
I'm sorry. I didn't have the right button. Hello?
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 You can hear me?
I can hear you.
Hey, Patrick. How's it going?
It goes.
Just a second. Well,
I can barely hear you. Can you give us a better connection than what you got, man? You sound like you were talking with a tin can 1,000 miles from here.
Sorry about that. They're doing yard maintenance outside.
What's
that?
What's that?
They're doing yard maintenance outside. Can you hear me?
No, I'm hearing you're on a cell phone, right?
Let me get a headset.
I don't know.
That makes a difference.
Folks, you know about these cell phones. Get rid of them. Jeez.
It's on speaker, Patrick. I'm trying to keep it away from my head.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, well, good for you. So get a little closer there, brother. I'm sorry. I just, it's just hard to talk to somebody. Yeah, when you can't hear what they're saying, it just drives me nuts. I'm just an audiophile. What can I tell you?
Hello?
Hello?
Is that much better?
Oh, yeah, much better. Okay, what's your first name?
Jeff.
Jeff? Okay, Jeff, where are you calling from?
Calling from up north in Canada.
Canada?
Yep.
Okay. What's up?
Well, first off, love the show.
Thank you.
I want to give a big thank you. You hooked me up with your friend David Wolf some months ago in March, and I was able to get him to my city, and I hosted an event with him.
I can't hear you, brother. You know, we just can't hear you. You're going to have to put it up to your head. Put it up to your head.
Hear me now?
Put the phone up to your head for a minute. It's not going to hurt you.
Hello?
Hello? Okay.
Better?
Yeah, I think so. Okay, go ahead. So you contacted David Wolf because?
No, I got a hold of him through your show.
Oh, I see. Okay.
When David was last on, and we ended up hooking up and running an event, so just a big thank you for that.
Oh, great. What kind of event did you do?
Just did an event around, kind of circled around David type thing, and him bringing his information, and it's out of my wheelhouse. I'm an automotive mechanic by trade, so
good for you.
I was stepping out of my lane to kind of set it all up. So,
well, that's brilliant. That's great.
It was very serendipitous. So, thank you for having him on the show.
Our pleasure. When did you do this?
I think it was March when you had him on, and then the event went in June.
I see.
Yeah, David's Canadian home is just like an hour away from us, so practically neighbors.
Yeah. What part is he? Where's his home? Is it Ontario?
Yeah. Trying to think, like, to put it in perspective for you. Northwest, about 2-3 hours from Toronto.
Northwest of Toronto,
Yeah.
And you live up that way as well?
Yep. We're about an hour away from him.
How do you do with the cold?
Have
you learned over the years? Do you do fine with the cold?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. I suspect the body would just get used to it, wouldn't it, Jeff?
You'd be surprised. You know, the people are complaining when it's plus 40. They're complaining when it's minus 40.
It doesn't matter. I know. I've seen some pictures. Do you know Nadine Artemis?
Yeah.
Does she live up your way, too?
I think she's an hour outside of Toronto. She's closer to the city.
I see. I've seen some pictures of her land, like in the summer and the spring. OMG.
Oh, yeah.
Stunning.
Incredible.
Just stunning.
Yeah. She's on my bucket list.
Is she?
I got to make it out there and visit her one day.
I would love to, too. She's great. Yeah, she's great.
We went and seen David's place about a month or two ago.
You did?
Inspiring. To say the least, yeah, it was incredible.
Oh, good for you. Yeah, he's doing some pretty wild. Does he have a whole system there, if I understand, where he's running the water in like a circular pipes in the whole thing?
Yeah, all the... I guess you'd say outlets, I guess, all the spots where you're going to access the water.
Yeah.
In the garden or in the house, they all have the spiral tap. There's a spiral spouts on them. Crystals everywhere. They've got crystals set up everywhere. It's beautiful.
Does he do the spiral thing, Jeff, all the way from the source to the tap?
No, I don't believe so. But the ends, all the ends are spiral. So.
So that helps the water. Does he use a spring water for a source?
Yeah, they have a spring that they pump up the hill to his place, and they run it through a couple different fun little systems there and energize it up and everything.
Boy, that water is the bomb.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
It's great.
Wow. Yeah, boy, if I ever move from this place, number one on the list would be have a spring. Or I'm not buying the property.
I hear you there.
Do you? Yeah.
It's a must.
Yeah.
If not, you're buying somewhere, you're digging a little hole, you're getting every Ken Rolla, every scalar, every crystal thing you can find.
I know.
Piling it all into one pile and then just praying there till the spring pops up.
I see. That's right. Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, buy one, make one.
Yeah, make one. Yeah, draw that sucker up, huh? Draw the water
absolutely
up.
Absolutely. Hmm. Well, definitely a big thank you to you, Patrick. You've been a huge influencer in my life the last, 6-7 years I've been listening to the show.
Well, good. It's fun. Thank you. Our pleasure.
You've made a huge difference. Like, I've been a health nut for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
But the stuff with Dr. Massey and just yourself, with the spiritual aspect of it, has probably been the biggest, most profound. If I have to communicate something to people, that's probably the biggest thing. The way the mind or the soul, the universe, interconnects with everything, your emotions, what's happened to you in your past, your family constellation, that stuff has been monumental in my journey, especially taking, I guess, how would I put it, taking the cards you've been dealt and dealing with it, with those emotions and stuff like that. Like when folks come in, Dr. Massey kind of breaks down the stories people are telling themselves. And I can't tell you how many times I've been listening to the podcast and then he reads something and then it's just an epiphany to me. Like, oh, I was doing that. Oh, I've been doing that. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop that thought process. And, you know, like, oh, okay, this has been, you know, holding me back. Or, you know, like, someone did that to me 10 years ago and I've been holding on to it and been, you know, eating away at me or causing me to think other things. That's huge.
Oh, boy, I tell you, yeah. You know, forgiveness and realizing that we create these experiences, every one of them. So to get angry at them or resent them, I mean, it's just a fool's errand.
Absolutely.